Good morning, Swiss Cove. Y'all are partying this morning. Woo! All right. Man, I walked along the back row, and I see the back row of Sanja and the Cordells and the Tillises, and they're just jamming out. And I'm like, man, I know I'm young, but I need some of that energy. Am I right? Come on. All right. Well, we're in for a good morning. If you don't know me, my name is Brandon. I'm the youth minister here at Swiss Cove Christian Church. I'm really excited to be starting a new series with you guys this morning. It's called All of Me, All for You. We're going to be diving into one of the most famous teachings in the Bible. But before we do that, I want to talk about a little bit of kind of just a universal truth that we all live through. And it's what you put into something is what you get out of something. What you put into something is what you get out of something. And I learned this the most being an athlete and working out with Elliot all the time, is when you put a lot of effort into working out, lifting, running, whatever it is, you see improvements, right? You get stuff out of it. You get a lot of soreness and tiredness and dehydration and pain, but you also get gains and speed and endurance and accomplishment, and it's really, really awesome to be able to know that what you put into something is what you get out of it. And we can relate to this all in parts of our life because it's pretty much simple cause and effect, right? We know that life operates this way for most of the part. And one of the teachings we're going to be looking at today, we're going to be talking about how what we put into our mind is what we get out of it. Our body operates the same way, and what we put into our mind is what we get out of it. We know that repetition, we think of the mind, we think of knowledge, right? And repetition is the mother of all knowledge. I'll say it again because we want to remember it. Repetition is the mother of all knowledge. We repeat things to remember it. So we do that with our speech. We'll say things over and over and over again to memorize scripture, memorize people's names. They say, the first time you meet someone, repeat their name 3 times in the first 5 minutes so that you can remember their name, which I'm terrible at. I do not remember names well. We repeat things when we're reading it, right? We read things over and over to be able to recall that. We do that with our life habits as well. It happens in our physical lives. I know I told you guys a couple series back, I'm a rock climber, so I only know how to talk about rock climbing. And there was a move in the gym that I could not get. I could not get. It was way better than me. I did it probably 100 times, falling on my butt. I made the people in the gym laugh a lot, but I did it 100 times probably. And finally it sticks, right? And so then I do it 5, 6 more times and I fall those times, but then you stick it again. And now I can go in and I can get that move every single time because repetition is the mother of all knowledge. It's how we know things. And when we repeat things over and over, when we fill our minds with what it is to do that, do these things, we're able to recall it, whether it's on a test, whether we're at work, whether we're working out, whatever it may be, we're able to recall that information. We see this a lot in TV shows and in movies, right? We can all sing all our Disney songs, right? No matter what you think of Disney, you still know the music. You still know what how those movies go. We can talk about our favorite TV shows or our favorite sports teams. I talked in the atrium ad nauseum about how exciting it is to have Trevor Lawrence as the quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah, Mark's nodding. We can clap about that. For the next, like, 15 years, right? You know, we're set. We've got something exciting, and so we fill our minds with this, right? I can quote The Office, almost all of it. I don't have to be watching it. I know what's happening in the scene. I can have my eyes closed, and it's because I've watched the series. I'm not going to touch. Yeah, I will. 16 times. I know it's a problem. But I've watched The Office all the way through 16 times. I've read the Harry Potter series 5 times. The first time I read them, I was 22. Writing this sermon actually reminded me it's time to get back in them. I read them every year. It's the best book series there is. But repetition allows us to recall this information, and what we consume into our mind ends up coming out of our mind. And generally, we see that through our mouths. Generally, what we fill our mind with comes out of our mouths in some form or fashion, most likely through the words we use. Sometimes it's through our attitude, through our tone, but it comes out eventually. And yeah, I can quote sitcoms every day. Why? Because I love sitcoms. I fill my mind with sitcoms every day. I talk about Jaguars football with Mark every time I see him. Why? Because I love Jaguars football, and I consume so much of it. And what we fill our minds with comes out of our mouths. Under one condition, one. Oftentimes we add a filter to our mouths because we know that what's in our head doesn't reflect what we know should be coming out of our mouth. We add a filter because we know what's in our mind shouldn't be coming out of our mouths. And we see that a lot in this building, actually, right? We almost slip up with our language, or sometimes do. And language is the easy thing to pick on here, but we slip up and we immediately catch it and we're like, oh no, I can't say that here. Right, because this building, this is the only place that God is watching, right? And so we slip up and we immediately apologize and we're like, oh no, I didn't mean to say that. Elliot talked about this a couple months ago in a sermon. He was saying how when we would go to the gym, we would meet people. And you'd get to this question, and this still happens all the time when we're out and about, is you get the question, what do you do for a living? And you're like, well, I'm a pastor. And they stand up a little straighter. They're like, oh, man, I'm really sorry for the F-bomb I dropped 5 minutes ago or 5 weeks ago. Like, their brain, they remember everything in that moment. And so they start adding that filter in immediately, though, because they know that what's coming out of their mouth, what's coming out of their mind, isn't what should be coming out of their mind. We see this. We get in arguments, and we feel ourselves raising our voice, and we throw a filter on it. That's not a bad filter. That's a good filter. We get challenged, and we get defensive because we don't like a person who's challenging our opinion, or we don't like the idea they're throwing out, and we put a filter on it. Our mind is really strong. It's really powerful. It's one of the most powerful parts of our body that God created. And we're starting a new series today titled All of Me, All for You, where we're talking about one of the most important teachings that there ever was. It's called the Shema. You can find it first in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's paraphrased throughout the Old Testament. It's where we get the phrase love God, love people from. And Jesus taught this teaching many times through Scripture. The one we're going to be looking at is in Mark 12, 29 through 31. If you've got a Bible, go ahead and earmark that. It's going to come in handy, not just on Sunday mornings, but throughout the whole month, we're going to be really diving into this scripture and what it means. But before we dive into the teaching, each week of this series, we're going to do something a little different. And if you're watching at home, I encourage you guys to do the same thing. We're going to read this scripture out loud. So we don't do that very often here in this church. I grew up in a church where we would like all stand and read. We're not going to go that far, but we are going to read it out loud. I think there's a lot of power in Scripture, so even if you're at home, even if you're alone, we're going to read this. It's on the screen together, starting in Mark 12, 29. Here we go. Hear, O Israel, Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. This was the foundation of Jewish teaching. Like this is the floor that they taught. This was what they built their faith on. And through this whole series, we're actually going to have a series challenge and then a weekly next step. But the series challenge is to say this Bible verse or write it in your prayer journal every single day. Every day we want you to write this down or say it out loud. We want to commit this to memory, not just because it's what we're talking about, but because this is what they taught Jewish children to do growing up. This is what Deuteronomy 6 says, as you're walking along the road, talk about this teaching. As you're walking into your home, write it on your door frames, teach it to your children. This was the foundation that they taught in their synagogues and in their temple. And so we want to make sure that we're doing that as well. Through this whole month, we're going to memorize those verses. And I know a lot of us are reading the Bible in a year. We're doing 3 to 5 chapters a day, but I think we can do it. It's going to be absolutely awesome. And if you haven't figured out, in this series, we're going to be breaking down what it means to love God with our mind, soul, heart, and strength. And I think when we do that, the second commandment that Jesus says falls right in line. So we're going to memorize that every day. And by the end of the month, you know, I shouldn't have to throw it up on the screen. We should just be saying it, writing it out, and hopefully, most importantly, living it out. And so today, if you haven't figured it out, we are talking about the mind. We're going to be talking about loving God with your mind. And we said from our minds come our words and really how we perceive the world around us. Your mind is what interprets and perceives your entire world. Our mind is a sponge. It's so powerful. It's incredible, this piece of our body that God created. And so we're going to be looking at loving God through what we soak up. Because what we soak up, what we fill ourselves with up here, our perception, our interactions with people, they're formed up here. Our work, our perception of work, what we think about work, our hobbies, it's formed up here. Our subconscious is formed up here. It's one of the most powerful areas. And we're starting here because I think we have to get this right before we get the rest of that list right. And I really do think it's amazing how what we consume affects how we perceive, how we act toward the world around us after that. And we get to choose what goes up here. We get to choose what governs, what is in charge of our mind. We get to choose not all of, but a lot of what goes into our mind. And if you're following along in a paper Bible, Clay, I love it. Our main scripture is going to be Ephesians 4, but we're going to be jumping around a little bit. We're starting in Romans 8. It talks about this idea. It says, a mind governed by the flesh is death. A mind governed, ruled by the flesh, this world, our desires, selfishness, is death. And the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So a mind ruled by God, by the Spirit of God, leads to life and peace. And a theme you're going to see through this whole series is that there's a battle between the flesh and the Spirit. This is going to come up in every single week, where we've got this battle between the world, the flesh, and the Spirit of God, and what He wants from our lives. And as we dive into this, you're going to see that our flesh, it's a place of selfishness. It's a place that points toward us, and that's always going to lead to death. And death is a place that does not know God. So when we fill our brains with things of this flesh, with our selfishness, it leads to a place that does not know God. And when we allow our mind to be governed by the Spirit of God, we achieve that life and that peace that comes along with Him. And I don't know about you guys, but I want the life, not the death. Not just in my own life, but I want to be able to walk into a room and breathe that life into the rooms that I'm in, right? We defined discipleship last week as helping another Christian take their next step of faith. I probably butchered that a little bit, but it's close enough. And you know, we want to be able to breathe that life into the room around us. We want to walk in, and we don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. You can't make disciples while what your brain is being governed by is death. You can't be making disciples and living in the Spirit while your mind is focused on the things of the flesh. So we're going to dive a little bit deeper into this idea. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. Here's what it says. You guys can follow along on the screen. It says, that, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being consumed by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. And to put on a new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. The word attitude there sometimes is translated as spirit, or sometimes other translations will use the word thought, but it's this idea of reshaping how your mind works. When you became a Christian, when we're baptized, when we hear and believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and live our life for Christ, we're not supposed to be the same person at all. We're not supposed to live the same way. And it's not just our actions that change, because I don't think you can truly change your actions till you change what's inside of you, your mind and your soul. Jesus would say, clean the inside of your cup before you clean the outside of your cup. It's not just supposed to be an eternal destination that we get at our baptism, but it's supposed to transform all of who you are, all of me, all for you, all for God, and that includes our mind, how we think. See, Ephesians is saying that the former way of life, the way you lived before you were a Christian, your old self, it was corrupted, it was deceitful, and your mind was corrupted and deceitful before you became a Christian. What we fill our brains with as non-Christians can be poison. And I think sometimes it comes from simple things like music and television and advertisement, which in and of themselves aren't bad things, but oftentimes it's much deeper than that. It's the company we keep. Our close friends aren't people who share the same ideas as us. And our close friends, they're filling your mind with all kinds of stuff. See, we become a Christian, but we still don't hang out with the people in this room. Sometimes it comes from the websites we visit. It comes from certain ideas on moral issues like drugs, alcohol, sex, and hot topic things that Christians, you know, don't really like to talk about. But when we become a Christian, our mind is supposed to shift away from those things. We're supposed to be new. It's supposed to be filled with God's Spirit. And we're supposed to do the things that support that Spirit. Christians should be living where their mindset is changed. We shouldn't think the same way that we thought when we were a non-Christian, because that mind leads to death. It's in worldly things. It's in things of the flesh. A mind that's worried about death is worried about our social status. It's worried about social media followings. It's worried about what people think of them. It's worried about what moon phase we're in and how we're going to act because of that. A mind that leads to death, it's focused on sinful desires. It's focused on drinking to feel, drinking to forget, doing drugs for the same reasons. It's focused on what or when my sexual desires are going to be me. A mind that's changed, though, it's focused on righteousness. Righteousness. And what that means is it means abandoning whatever was creating our baggage. A mind focused on righteousness means abandoning what was creating our baggage. It means abandoning whatever was piling our skeletons up in the closet, the things we're shameful about, guilty about. Our mind can't be focused on those things anymore. See, to live a life where we stop doing what we shouldn't be doing, we have to shift, we have to change, we have to be transformed up here. A mind of righteousness, it looks at Scripture. It allows Scripture to create the morals in our lives and to make new rules. Yes, Christianity has rules. I hate to break it to you, but they're not that hard to follow. No, and we're not going to be able to follow them to perfection either. And if you remember back to Ephesians 4, right after the word righteousness came another word. Do y'all remember what it is? Clay, you're looking down. Who said it? Oh, good job, John. Gold star, smiley face sticker. We hand those out in youth group. Anyway, so holiness. It says righteousness and holiness. And I hate to break it to you guys, but we aren't holy. We're not. There's nothing we can do to be holy in and of ourselves. We're made holy by the blood of Christ. We can't be holy. There's nothing we can do to be holy, but we are made holy when we get dunked in that water and we're made new by the blood of Christ. And Colossians 3:2, it kind of wraps this up, this idea. It says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Our mind needs to be set on things above. The things above are the holiness, righteousness and holiness. The things above are the holiness. God is holy. We're made holy in Christ. Setting our minds on Christ, setting our mind up there, that's the key. And when that happens, amazing, amazing things can come. So when we get this shift, when we shift our perspective, when we shift who we are, we set our minds on things above, something amazing happens. And I think it gets wrapped up in Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, so when we transform and renew our mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I don't know about you guys, but that's power right there. When we transform our mind, when we change the way we think, we can start knowing what God wants us to do with our lives. And one of the biggest questions that this world asks is, what am I supposed to be doing right now? What am I supposed to be doing right now? And when we become a Christian, when we make this shift, our story no longer matters. Our story kind of gets tossed to the side. And we join a story that's a lot bigger, though. We join a story that's spanned thousands of years, one that's covered the globe now. It's a story of Christ. See, when our minds are transformed, we begin to be able to start figuring out how he wants to live our lives. The word will there in Romans 12, I think our culture would better translate it as the word desire. When we set our mind on Christ, we learn what he desires from us. And that's life and peace and righteousness. So we talked about it. We've covered some Ephesians, Romans, Colossians. What does it mean for us? I think all those Bible verses, they're kind of asking us a question. And it's, when you became a Christian, did you allow your mind to begin being transformed? When you became a Christian, did you allow your mind to begin being transformed? And maybe you aren't a Christian. Maybe you're like, what is this guy talking about? I've never met Jesus. I'm not in a relationship with Jesus. And if you're curious about what we're talking about, you feel that in your mind. You kind of have some of that shame, that guilt built up. We're down here not just this Sunday, but every Sunday. We would love to talk to you guys about what your next step of faith is, and the most important one in being in that relationship with Jesus Christ. And maybe you're on the stream. Someone sent you this link. You have no idea what you're watching right now, but you're curious about what you're hearing. Maybe you want to know more about being in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Please email us at hello@swisscovechristian.com. But if you have a relationship with Jesus, which is most of us in this room, most of us online, are you allowing your mind to be transformed? Are you allowing your mind to be transformed? Some of us, we're really unsure of the answer to that question. We just don't know if our mind is focused on Christ the way it should be. We're curious. And that's what's going to bring us to our next step this week. What we want you to do this week, evaluate what you're putting in. Evaluate what you're putting in. This means like taking notes and seeing how we react to the world around us, right? Because what we put into our mind is what comes out of our mouths and our mind. Pay attention to your actions. Pay attention to what makes you feel happy. Are you responding to the negatives the way Christ wants you to? Are you made happy by the things that Christ wants you to be happy about? So often we get stuck in positions when life gets tough, and if you don't think life's tough, you haven't been in life yet. But sometimes we get stuck in positions when life gets tough, and we run to sin. We love to run to sin. And that first trigger, it happens in our mind. It happens with the desire up here. We can evaluate how we respond to the world around us up here, and we know exactly where our mindset's at. If we're running to sin, your mind's not in the right place. If you're running to prayer and you're celebrating with God's people, if when life gets hard, you're running to your life group and you're venting to them and you're allowing them to help you, yeah, your mind's probably in the right place. But so often, we find that when life gets tough, we run to sin instead of our salvation. We run to sin instead of our salvation. We've got Jesus. We have the guy that was raised from the dead, that healed so many people. We've got all this power that we're able to access, yet we run to our sin because it has power over you instead of Christ. And that comes when our mind isn't set in the right place. So this week, we want you to evaluate where your mindset's at. Evaluate what you're putting in. Evaluate what's coming out. But if you want a little extra credit, if you want more to do, there's a couple things we can do to start filling ourselves with Christ, filling our mind with Christ. And it's start, any synonym for the word start, every day with scripture reading and prayer. Start every day with scripture reading and prayer. Why start? Sleep's a reset button. When we fall asleep and we wake up the next morning, we forget 99% of what happened the day before. Don't let scripture fall into that category. We want to start every day with scripture reading and prayer so that can carry us through our day. And then the second thing along with that, and I tell people who are really struggling to get their mindset focused on Christ, is listen to worship music and only worship music before noon. Worship music and only worship music before noon. Make sure the beginning of our day is consuming Christ. The podcasts, the TV shows, all that stuff, AC/DC and Taylor Swift, it can wait till after. But start your day with worship music. As I was writing this sermon series, when everybody was posting their like Spotify wrap-ups, I forget what they're called, but it's a picture of what people are putting in their mind. We're seeing the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of minutes that people were listening to. And I'm seeing Taylor Swift, I'm seeing Morgan Wallen and Mac Miller and Harry Styles and all these people. And I like Taylor Swift. Me and my wife listen to Taylor Swift. It's fun. I like Morgan Wallen. I listen to a lot of secular music, but I can tell you they're not filling your mind with Christ. I know their music. I told you, I just admitted that I listen to a lot of it. It's about relationships. It's about sex. It's about drunkenness. It's about filling your mind and your life with the things of this world. And then we wonder why we can't get our mind focused on Christ. And it's because Christ isn't a part of our day. What we put in is what we get out. And if you want Christ to fill your life, you have to put him in it. He's not just going to snap his fingers and magically change your mind and transform it. It's a relationship. It takes time. We have to pour into that. So together, let's fill our mind with Christ. Let's end with this. Mark 12:29-31. You guys read it with me. Actually, you all lead it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.